Welcome to Liberty Vineyard Church. I'm Nancy Penton, and these are wonderful days, and today's message is making the connection to Jesus as the bread of life, making the connection to Jesus as the bread of life as we journey with Jesus in this series that Zach has been preaching. Today, we're going to open our Bibles to John 6, 48 to 51, and I'm going to open with prayer. Oh Lord God, you loved us and sent Jesus to earth. Jesus, your heaven-sent Son of God, walked among us and invited others to follow him. As we seek to hear your message to us today, help us to follow Jesus faithfully in the journey we call life. Jesus, we want to hear your call to follow you in specific ways today. Help us to hear your voice and follow you well to green pastures and cool waters. Holy Spirit, the one who inspired these holy scriptures, spark life in our hearts today as we open our Bibles and our hearts to you today to hear the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be reading from the New International Version, John 6, 48 to 51. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. This is matzah bread. Matzah bread is used in some places when it's Passover time because it's unleavened. It doesn't have the leaven. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they didn't have time for the bread to rise, so they ate unleavened bread. And we have this example of matzah here as bread that we happen to use in our, we don't just happen, we intentionally use in our communion time, even though all over the world people use different various kinds of breads. We use this kind. Why? Because it is unleavened. And sometimes leaven talks about sin or refers to sin. So this is unleavened. If you can see it, it is striped. It's cooked with stripes. And then it's pierced. And so it really represents Jesus, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah tells us, by his stripes we are healed. And so we have this bread that has come down from heaven. But there's another bread that came down from heaven, and that's manna. I don't have any example to show you of manna, but manna was coriander seed, and it rained down from heaven in the morning and disappeared in the afternoon in the heat of the day. So the work to gather the manna was in the morning, morning by morning, just like morning by morning new mercies I see, morning by morning this manna came down, except on the Sabbath. So let's just peek at Exodus 16. Exodus 16 talks about this manna that came down. The whole Israelite community set out from Elam and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out from Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But
You have brought us out into the desert to starve. You starve this entire assembly to death. And then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on other days. And then skipping down, verse 13, that evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. What is it in Hebrew is manna. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. And then the instruction was, don't let any of it last till morning. Don't let it last till morning. It's for today, except on the day before the Sabbath, they could get two portions. Well, did they listen? No. Some of them gathered more than they needed, and it rotted. And some didn't go out and get twice as much on the day before the Sabbath, and they went out on the Sabbath, and it wasn't there. So, still did not follow the instructions. And yet, at the end of Exodus 16, the Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. God's provision every day, 6 days a week, manna from heaven, fed the people. And Jesus says, I'm the bread that came from heaven. Well, God fed the multitudes of people, and this is what we can learn from this portion of this manna coming. God considered gathering the manna labor. It was labor because on the sixth day they had to gather enough for that day in the Sabbath, because to go out and gather it on the Sabbath was considered work. They had to go out early, because in the heat of the day, it would melt away. And this was a way for them to see God's faithfulness, because morning by morning, they saw new manna, fresh supply. When we get up in the morning, we read the scripture, we pray, we sing hymns, we have our devotions, we are getting fresh manna, bread from heaven. As we prayed in our team this morning, our leadership team, Jim brought up this song from the woman at the well. Like the woman at the well, I was thirsting for things that couldn't satisfy. And the chorus to that is, fill my cup, Lord, fill it up. And bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Wonderful confirmation of what the Lord wants us to hear today. So Jesus is telling this story in John 6, and he's making this connection that these are the descendants of those who ate manna in the wilderness. They tasted of the provision of the Lord. They had family stories of how God provided for them from storehouses of heaven and rained down manna on the earth. They wanted Jesus to give them manna every day. You know, what sign will you do so that we may believe you? Our fathers ate manna. You know, give us manna. And they had just been fed the day before. Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves, this little boy's lunch. And the 5,000 people, at least 5,000 men, were fed. And then the baskets, 12 baskets, were left over. And none of it was wasted. They misunderstood
the multiplying of the bread and the fish. They were looking for someone to make their life easier for them every day, but they misunderstood the connection. Jesus makes a different connection. And now the connection that just as manna was sent from heaven, Jesus had been sent from heaven to give them access through his body as the bread of life broken and sacrificed for the sins of the people. When the crowds gathered, they were listening attentively to Jesus. There was a need for bread from heaven, and Jesus reveals himself as the bread of life. He satisfies their practical needs to invite them to a spiritual encounter with him as the one who would save them from their sinful and selfish ways of life. So, you know, just thinking about the title of the sermon this morning, making the connection to Jesus as the bread of life. How does Jesus teach this bread of life message? What is available? Take what's available. Jesus took what was available and he gave thanks and he broke it and it multiplied. Whatever we have, we can give to Jesus. He'll take what's available and multiply it. Jesus connected this bread from heaven with his purpose in coming, calling himself the bread of life. When Jesus came down from heaven to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, Bethlehem in the Hebrew means Bethlehem, bread. It is house of bread. Beit, house, lechem, bread, house of bread. So he came, even his coming was prophetic. And so I have this other verse I was going to have us look at. I'm cognizant of the time, but I have permission to go here. So let's go to 1 Peter 1, 18 to 21. 1 Peter 1, 18 to 21, New International Version. For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. I'll come back to that empty way of life. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. We can exchange this empty way of life for a life of fullness. I saw the connection between the ancestors in the wilderness and the emptiness of their lives. Even though God fed them manna from heaven and provided water from a rock and kept them for 40 years, they were in the wilderness. They perished in the wilderness because they did not know the Lord. They grumbled against Moses. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And when they sent spies into Canaan, they did not believe that they could conquer the land with the report of the 10 spies that there were giants in the land. They didn't believe the 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, that said, "Let's go. We can do this. The Lord is with us." What really struck me in the verses was the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. Empty way of life had me thinking and processing. Who was Peter writing to? Well, these could be first or second generation believers, but he could also be talking about the emptiness of the way of life when we're not relying on God. Just simply, life without Christ is empty. And as I thought about it some more, I thought about all the generations since Christ and how many persons have lived an empty life. How many persons still need to know Jesus, the bread of life? How many persons have lived without Christ and without hope in the world? And I thought about generations before Christ and the ways of life, some we read about in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. So many persons we read about had empty ways of life. And didn't the writer of Ecclesiastes, didn't Solomon say how Everything under the sun is vanity, emptiness, a chasing after the wind, empty way of life. Think about our own families. What about our mothers and fathers? How many did we inherit a faithful way of life from? How many generations back can we go to find faithfulness? In my life, I have my mother, my grandmother, and I don't know beyond that. In Alan's life, he's got his father, he's got a mother, a grandmother, and we don't know a whole lot beyond that. But we can think about who was mentoring us in the faith. Who were some of the faithful fathers of the faith that mentored us, faithful mothers of the faith that mentored us? You know, when we think about the empty way of life, we think John 10 and how the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, but I came in verse 10. I came that they might have life, abundant life, abundant life. And those who follow Jesus will have this abundant life. It doesn't mean we won't suffer. It doesn't mean we won't have sorrow. It doesn't mean we won't have pain, persecution, and all of those things. It means that there's joy in the midst of suffering. There's joy in the midst of pain. There's joy in the midst of knowing Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And we have life in believing and having a relationship with him. 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, a salvation of your souls. And then John 20 says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's verse 31. So when we think about fathers and we think about Father's Day, we're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We can honor our fathers. We can pray that God will still turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Jim led us in a beautiful communion meditation this morning about the prodigal son, or the lavish father welcoming children, welcoming this person who led a profligate life, and we can be welcomed. He also talked about the elder son that was astray in his heart because he sat in judgment of the younger one and wouldn't come into the party that the father was giving. What about the things that would empty our life or drain our life? Disappointments can drain our life. Life circumstances, pain, sickness, illness can drain, and suffering can drain us. Greediness can drain us. Sin can drain us. Not getting enough rest for our bodies can drain us. But we don't have to live that way. Jesus, the bread of life, came to give life. And he offers himself in He offers himself as the sacrifice so that we can have life. He came in the fullness of time to call disciples, to do miracles, signs, wonders, and teach us about the God who sent him. This Jesus who came to help us see God as the one who loved us so much that God gave his son to us. This Jesus who said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This Jesus who said, I and my Father are one. This Jesus came to invite us to participate in carrying the good news. Our good news is that Jesus came to lay down his life for his friends, to reconcile us to God through his precious blood. Making the connection with Jesus as the bread of life helps us to honor our fathers. Some of our fathers may not be honorable, but where we can, we honor our fathers because Jesus gives us forgiveness for our fathers, places our fathers went astray, places our grandfathers went astray. Our forefathers may not have done things the way that were honorable, but Jesus can help us. Wherever our fathers have let us down, wherever
They've been wonderful. None of our fathers are as wonderful as God the Father, who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, begotten, not made, Jesus of Nazareth. And then Jesus said he's going to the Father, to his Father, to our God. He would not leave us as orphans. And so if we have a father who's alive today, honor our fathers. If we have sons who are fathers, honor them as they father their children. If we have husbands who are fathers, uncles who are fathers, honor the fathers. Too many Father's Day sermons could make fathers feel like they're not enough, like they've gone astray and they need to come to Jesus. Well, if you are a father, you're welcome to come to Jesus. We want to honor you. Jesus came to give life, abundant life. The storehouses of heaven are full, and we're called to live life with fullness. We have a choice. We can continue to participate, as 1 Peter writes, in the empty way of life of the ancestors, or in the fullness of joy. So we want to welcome the bread of life. Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven and taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." This is the bread that's physical bread. It's also our daily manna from heaven that we can gather in prayer and reading and listening in our circumstances. When we notice what God is doing in the earth, when we receive refreshment for our bodies and souls, for our minds, our wills, emotions, we have a wonderful God, our Father, who is Father to us. Father's Day is a great day to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul talked about filling in the Spirit in the verb tense that means to continue to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, we receive the Holy Spirit when we believe, absolutely. But there's a fullness of the Spirit as we're growing fruit and as we're being faithful. There's a fullness of the Spirit. You know, we leak. We have to brush our teeth every day. We have to eat every day. We have to do certain things every day. And we can ask for this fullness. We can ask God to fill us where we're empty in our spirit. We can give up the empty way of life that lives to gratify the desires of the flesh. There are deeper desires, desires of the heart. Our deepest desires long to please God, to live in relationship with God, to honor God as our Heavenly Father. We have a Father who's aware of our needs, aware of what will supply our needs, aware of the vast storehouses in heaven, ready to pour out good gifts. Sometimes what we need is practical health, employment, school, funds. Sometimes what we need to give is practical. We give school supplies to a local middle school. We pick up the trash along the roadway. We volunteer at a community pantry or food bank. We knit prayer shawls for those who will feel the comforting touch of the love poured into the stitching. Yes, practical things. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick, visit those in prison. And in doing all these things, we have a heavenly storehouse to go to. We can, in prayer, ask our Father for good things. We can ask for wisdom, guidance, direction, protection, provision, vision for each day, every day. We can go about our daily lives looking for where God is at work and inviting us to join in the work of God. Jesus said, "I always do what I see my Father doing." God is always working, and Jesus participated in that. When we stop living for ourselves and start living for God, we make a conscious choice to accept the bread of life, the great salvation that God offers. We make a choice to take up our cross and follow Jesus. We make a choice to dedicate our lives to Christ. We make a choice to repent and be baptized and let the whole world know that we love the Lord who came to give us eternal life. Jesus, who came to seek and save that which was lost. We were lost in our sins and selfish ways. Jesus came and gave us abundant life. Jesus gave himself the bread of life. Jesus' body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. He was despised and rejected. He saw that we were all going astray and we needed a shepherd. We needed someone to lead us to green pastures and living waters.
If you want to meet Jesus in a renewed way today, we will be here to pray with you. We'll be right over here to pray with you. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to give the Lord your places of emptiness and receive his fullness, we will be here, right here, to pray with you. If you want to serve the Lord in practical ways, we're here to pray with you. And I'll just close in prayer, and then I'm going to give us the benediction, and then we're going to meet over here. If this message tugged on your heart, if you need special prayer, come and pray with us. Lord, come and fill our emptiness with your fullness. Come meet us in the depths of our deepest desires. Fulfill your plans for us, in us, and through us. God, our Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, we honor you in our midst today. We know you are ever present with us, whether we experience your presence or not, whether we see it or not, you're working. Today, we want to experience your presence. Today, Holy Spirit, come in ways we can experience your presence and your power. Fill us today with your goodness. Help us to be filled to overflowing with love for Jesus and to want to share our love for Jesus in our communities. Bread of heaven, come. Amen. Our benediction today comes from 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Peter's writing. Peter, who had been with Jesus, Peter, who had seen the loaves, Peter, who had preached on Pentecost, this Peter. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord with gladness.